The following resource is from desiringgod.org.
We were talking yesterday, and I shared with you Vancouver, close proximity to Seattle, and therefore close proximity over the years to the ministry in Seattle, Mars Hill and Mark Driscoll, and that made a dramatic impact on many people's lives. Many people from this ministry and people in around Vancouver traveled down to Mars Hill, watched it, listened, downloaded to many of Mark Driscoll's podcasts. I know you've commented on your relationship with Mark on your own podcast, and I'm not asking you to comment on that relationship specifically. I'm more wanting you to speak into those individuals' lives where coming out of what's happened over the last year has really impacted them, called into question the church, leadership, does it work, can we trust it? People throwing even theological leanings under the bus because they equate it with the individual. And can you comment and encourage those individuals who have been impacted in that way?
I hope so.
Yeah.
First, just to set the stage, I can remember riding my bicycle along the Greenway through the middle of Minneapolis. It's a quiet place. You can do this on your bike. I can't do this in the traffic. And I'm listening to Mark Driscoll preach. And it's a topical message on the authority and inspiration of the Bible. And I got home and I wrote him and I said, that's the best thing I've ever heard on this. Maybe I didn't say that. I just said it was very, very good. That was how I felt about Mark Driscoll. I didn't like everything about Mars Hill. You know, I don't like everything about your church.
What? We should just stop this right now.
There is no church that I like everything about, including my own. So all that to say, I wasn't blown away by Mark Driscoll. But I appreciated very much what I was hearing. The skin, you know, there's wine and there's wineskins. Right. The skins were not all attractive to me. And then we had a relationship. We met. We talked. He talked of me as a mentor, an admired older guy. But I didn't have as much influence as I wished I could. Mm. Now, to your question, it's not a unique situation. Mm. In history or in our day, Christians are failing. Lay people and pastors are failing every day and bringing reproach upon the gospel. Individually at your office, if you know or known you're a Christian and then you do something out of character, it brings reproach upon the gospel. Who has not let Jesus down? Hmm. Something you should be witnessing, you didn't witness, you feel bad in the evening, you let him down. Hmm. This is not unique to leaders, and it's not unique to Mark or Mars Hill. So that's the first thing to say, is that historically and now, we are letting Jesus down regularly, and we should be penitent people and be slow to judge. You know, you got a log in your eye, and Jesus, no, you got a log in your eye. You need to be careful to get the log out before you take the speck out. So a humble thing. The second thing I'd say is, biblically, God has historically been willing, I'm thinking of Philippians 1 now, been willing to use people to speak gospel truth who have motives and attitudes that are defective. So it says in Philippians 1, they were preaching the gospel to make Paul feel bad in prison. Mm-hmm. That stinks. Mm-hmm. And Paul says, what then? Christ is proclaimed. Whether good motives or bad motives, I rejoice. So one way to process Mars Hill or any other ministry that has defective, whether the defect implodes like Mars Hill or not, whether defect to say, God is unbelievably merciful to use you and me with our defects to speak gospel truth. And so put it in that category of, if you think Mark was defective in some biblical ways of leadership, which I think is true, and I think he admits are true, then you got to have a category for gospel faithfulness in defective containers. We have a beautiful, glorious treasure in a broken clay pot that can be worse than some people think it can be. That's the second thing I'd say. A third thing I'd say is don't throw the baby of truth out with the bathwater of sin. Jesus, to walk away from Jesus because Jesus' representatives are failures is to make an absurd choice. Jesus is our only hope. Yeah. That he has bad representatives, including me at times, doesn't make Jesus defective. Jesus is the one person in the universe who has no defects. He has no failures. If you walk away from the one person who has no failures because his representatives have failures, you're walking away from the one hope of your life. That's the main thing I think I'd say. Don't walk away from Jesus. And the last thing that comes to my mind is that when I look at history, and I know I'm thinking centuries, God must be the kind of general over his army that willingly accepts tactical defeats for strategic victories. That was a defeat. That was a tragedy. The debacle in Seattle is a tragedy from untold angles. Lots of people hurt. It was a defeat for the gospel. It was a defeat for Mark. It was a defeat for evangelicalism. It was a defeat for Reformed theology, for complementarianism. It was a defeat. There's just no, not trying to whitewash anything. It was a colossal satanic victory. And the general is not out of control.
Yeah, amen.
The general didn't say, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do in the Northwest now. I don't have Mark Driscoll anymore. Right. I just have a clue what I'm going to do in North America now. He didn't drop the ball. He's not sweating. He's not anxious. He doesn't know. He is totally in charge of this war. He permitted a tactical defeat for the gospel. He has done it. I mean, just picture the entire swath of North Africa used to be pervasively Christian. It's totally Muslim. Almost the entire Middle East has Christianity that went back way before Muslims came on the scene. Now, predominantly Islam. What's God doing?
Right.
I mean, is he in charge of the world or what? I mean, how can he give that kind of tactical defeat to the Middle East and to North Africa? I mean, Seattle is small potatoes. North Africa, that's pretty big. Middle East, that's pretty big. Turkey, First Peter was written to Turkey. Christians everywhere in Turkey. Today, 52 million Muslims and a tiny little handful of Christians. Is God in charge? I'm totally convinced God's in charge. He knows what he's doing in this world. So for those reasons, I don't think people should walk away from Jesus or Reformed theology or complementarianism or the church.
Specific to that, they go, Pastor John, I'm not walking away from Jesus, but I'm done with the church. Can't trust the leadership, held this guy in high esteem. So I'm not going to walk away from Jesus, but I'm done with the organized aspect of church life.
If you do that, you're walking away from Jesus.
Yeah, good word.
Here's the reason. To say that I love Jesus, but I don't submit to his word, is a lie. He who loves me will keep my words. Jesus founded the church. I didn't. Paul didn't. Jesus founded the church. He established apostles to be, according to Ephesians 2:20, the foundation of the church. And then he built it with prophets and teachers and pastors, and ordained that there be a structure of local churches in the body of Christ called the church. This is not man's idea. There are a lot of young evangelicals who are cool, hip, and leftward leaning, who think they can substitute something for organized church. Well, I would have to look at what they're substituting and say, well, really, Are you just creating church? Trying to create church? If you're trying to create church, just create it biblically.
Right.
Start a biblical church. And that means listening to your master and his word and his apostles. So the choice of Jesus over church implies a choice of your opinion over the Bible. Because the Bible is where we meet Jesus. You can't make Jesus up.
Right.
You can't make him up.
No.
He is the Jesus of the Bible, or he's the Jesus of your imagination. If he's the Jesus of the Bible, you take the whole Jesus. You can't carve him up in pieces. And the whole Jesus is the Jesus who loves the church. He died for the church.
Thank you for listening to this resource from desiringgod.org. If you found it helpful, we encourage you to enjoy and share from thousands of resources on our site, including books, sermons, articles, and more, available free of charge. DesiringGod.org exists to help you treasure Jesus more than anything else, because God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him.